Hello, I'm George Meyer. This is about the Yemeni civil war. And by the way, my channel was briefly taken off air when they said, I supposedly violated the terms, but within minutes of my complaining, they realized I hasn't, and here I am. I hadn't, and here I am. Okay, so Yemen, that country, the southern edge of the Arabian Peninsula, and don't want to go too much into the background of it. Obviously, it's an Arabic-speaking country. It's a Muslim country. There are virtually no non-Muslims left. There used to be a significant Jewish community there for since just post-biblical times. They all went to Israel the last few decades, and there are even Hindus and so on, Zoroastrians in Aden when that was a British-ruled port for well over a century. So the Ottoman Empire ruled what became North Yemen. The British ruled South Yemen, cared about the port of Aden, didn't care about the hinterland over much, withdrew in the 60s. Farrokh Bolsara was a Zoroastrian. They're born on the island of Zanzibar. And I know where his house is in London, where he died indeed. But that's another story. So independence for the two Yemens of the 20th century. Obviously, the Ottomans lost control of North Yemen in 1920, and the Britishers withdrew from South Yemen in 1968, if memory serves. But they didn't unite at first. And North Yemen, thing is, North Yemen, they say that it's actually more the west of the country, and South Yemen is more the east of the country. But anyway, in North Yemen, the Shia are a slight majority. They may be 55% of the population, whereas in South Yemen, the Sunnis are about 99% of the population. Yemen as a whole, Sunnis are maybe 60% of the population. And that Shia minority is hugely concentrated in so-called North Yemen, more like the west. And to some extent, it's a sectarian conflict. So in the early 90s, they tried to unite the two Yemens because South Yemen had been a communist country in alliance with the Soviet Union, and the Red Navy had gone there as well. They had two armies. They're trying to unite in the 90s and didn't work, and there was fighting and so on. But the fighting really broke out after the Arab Spring 2011. There was a Yemeni revolution, and people huge demonstrations calling for President Ali Abdullah Saleh to stand aside. Okay, so because he had ruled South Yemen, being a socialist, and so on. So the Houthi rebels, they are Shia rebels, and they've been attacking supporters of Saleh as well. So it's not to say that all of them support Saleh. And there were some Al-Qaeda types in Yemen. Remember, Osama bin Laden was Yemeni on his mother's side. So the thing is, it had been very wealthy, Aden, the most developed country, most developed port probably in the Arabian Peninsula, more so than Dubai in the 60s. Then the United Kingdom withdrew and it all collapsed. So it just shows how magnificent British imperialism is and how terrible anti-imperialism is, how they lapsed into tyranny, oppression, internecine warfare, sectarianism. They'd had the blessings of the Enlightenment, of scientific and technological progress, of women's rights, of cosmopolitanism, of being plugged into the global economy, and then it all turned into a hellscape. All right. But this conflict, it really broke out in 2014. They made an attempt at another presidential election, but there's only one candidate in it. The Houthis felt that the dice was loaded against them. So it's very much a tribal society. Tribes are meant to be very, very extended families, often marrying within the tribe, having hereditary chieftains. So there's been this parallel government, tribal government, as well as an elected government. And in the British era in South Yemen, the Britannic authorities preferred to interact with hereditary chieftains rather than have representative institutions, feeling that it was inapplicable there. Could have been that these chieftains were traditionalists whom the British felt would cooperate with them, whereas those who wanted to enter some sort of parliamentarian process were going to be Arab nationalists, socialists, and so forth. All right. So major protest turned to militancy. The Houthis, they seized Sana'a, which had been the capital of North Yemen, is in the mountains, whereas Aden's on the coast of South Yemen. Anyway, arguing about breaking the country up into a very region, various regions. and bombing each other's mosques of whatever the opposite denomination, suicide bombings against Sunnis or against Shia and so on. So Al-Qaeda was on the Sunni side. Al-Qaeda is not just Sunni, they're viciously anti-Shia. It's not true to say that all Sunnis and all Shia hate each other, including in Yemen. So Iran eventually weighed in on the side of their fellow Shia. They didn't initially, but partly it's a proxy war between Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia was obviously to the north. Saudi Arabia backs the Sunni majority. The Shia minority in Saudi Arabia, severely oppressed. They're hugely concentrated in the eastern province, especially around Qatif. So the Shia are 20% of Muslims at most, a bit higher in the Middle East, the very edge of the Muslim world, let's say Senegal or Indonesia, they're virtually no Shia. So in the Middle East, the Shia may be higher than that, maybe 30%. And the oil in the Middle East is mostly in Shia majority areas, the eastern province of Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, Azerbaijan, if indeed you count Azerbaijan as the Middle East. And so it goes on. Okay, so the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps assisting Houthis by providing them with weapons, training, funding, and so forth, helping them coordinate, propagandizing for them, and so on. So that's it. Okay, now the United States recognizes the legal government of Yemen, which is the Saudi aligned one, which is an exclusively Sunni one, and the other Gulf Arab states like the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Bahrain, and so on. Are inclined towards them as well. So weapons being sold to the Saudi Arabians, which they then use, an awful lot of civilians being killed in by the Saudi intervention, by bombing and stuff like that. So it's been talked about more countries intervening, cutting off food to rebel-held areas, starved an awful lot of people to death. So there's been a famine as well. It's just been horrific. It's relatively underreported. So that the majority of population suffering at least malnutrition is horrific. It was very dangerous to get in there. Infrastructure is very poor in terms of roads. There aren't any functioning railways. Wi-Fi, the internet doesn't always work. It's kind of dangerous for Western women, might well be kidnapped. Were dangerous for any Westerners, but women going around their own is just not a done thing. You really want to cover up your hair and so forth. Not that many people speak English, so that's why international media organizations don't go there. It's not seen as strategically or economically important, and so yet this conflict's been going on for 11 years, and at least tens of thousands of people have been killed, possibly more. So UNHCR has done what it can for them. So there's really it doesn't seem to be a much end in sight. And okay, maybe the Sunni side is winning, because Iran is not in a position to help them anymore. The Houthi rebels prove their worth to Iran, the by attacking Western shipping in the Red Sea, in that choke point in between Yemen and Africa. And could drive up global oil prices because so much of global commerce goes up the Red Sea and to the Suez Canal, or through the Suez Canal and south through the Red Sea. And Israel tried to take them out as well, but it would really suit Iran to de-escalate the situation. The Iranians felt that they won said they were winning in Syria, then they lost in Syria. Their enemies come to power. They don't want to use rule in Yemen, losing Yemen as well. That will cement Saudi and indeed Sunni mastery. So, if anything, I suppose it's the Sunni side is going to win, but that's not going to be great for freedom. Do I have an opinion on this? Not really, because it's fairly complicated, but they're both quite bad. What would I do if I was a Yemeni? It might depend which religious denomination I was born. I suppose want peace and reconciliation, and I know it seems glib, but very, very difficult to achieve. They can both be bad guys. I suppose they can both be good people. Do what serves their self-interest mostly, and ethical considerations are usually secondary. Well, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then PayPal, georgecallin7@gmail.com. I made this partly because Zionists are all saying, "Oh, why don't you talk about all the people killed in Yemen?" And yes, that's horrendous as well. And I should be better informed about it. I don't, but the media doesn't say much about it. Partly, but it's bad that the United Kingdom government is an accessory to some of these crimes. I don't know if it's still selling the weapons. US government definitely is. Thank you and goodbye.